Need to Know Are by Denver Day, Book 1, Chapter 5. I thought I had the case all squared away for my Monday morning briefing with the lieutenant. I presume Stevie Wang and Louis Ho's cocaine salads amount to small quantity end-user sales from a much longer ride up the coast. Up through the Bay Area and on two chrome wheels, I'd say Mr. Ho took Mr. Wang's position as Miss Anders' blow supplier and manager of her end-user ass sales, and I'd say that during the changing of the guard, Wang met his maker. At a glance, I'd pin this on Ho, with Anders probably an accessory to the crime. I have reasonable suspicion to bring them in for questioning, I said. The shift change from Wang to Ho might reflect parties involved upstream in the command chain of the narcotics trafficking, but I really doubt it. Downstream narcotics logistics cohabitating with the service industry is nothing new, and it's a trickle-down market. You know, no vertical political decisions or messages get sent down like what happened Saturday morning. Because the specifics of the end-use transaction is moot upwards on the command chain. We know this sort of thing typically is just local, personal. So just to be clear, I'm inclined to think Alvarez was not involved in the killings. For these, among other reasons. But Lieutenant McKinney had a look about him. And it would turn out for quite very good reason. Oh, Rick, there's something else. Hold on to your hat. Tennant said. We'll need to bring them in, but you need to look at this weirdness first. This changes things. You'll see he handed me a stack of reports from the printer on his desk. Multiple agencies, homicide investigations, all strippers from as far south as San Diego, one so nearby as King County, San Diego to Seattle, all points in between, Rick, and look at the date on them all. I was telephoning colleagues up and down Highway 101 saying, hey, we got a dead stripper, maybe due to a local market turf issue, you know, asking them if they're noticing any major narco traffic, sea change at hand that might correlate, anything similar. Just background oversight on this. But the first call I made, Sacramento, asked me when we blackbagged R3. Turns out they had the same thing. On the same night, early Saturday morning, and so forth. And I was looking for some related trend in the black market, not on the goddamn cut circuit. It's impossible to call this a coincidence. He said, dead strippers in a dozen odd cities on the same night, strangled, shot, bludgeoned, or several like ours with their throats cut. He was right. This was a hairpin turn, forensically, from isolated street-level violence among the unwashed. Salt of the earth, two interstate bloodbath, regardless of whom bled out, potentially involving posturing among high-level narcotics traffickers? I was starting to wish that, but more likely just some group of freaky freaks killing girls just for the hell of it, which was a lot more complicated. You can't really call it a serial killer if the crimes all happened in different locations but on the same night. Same time, more a wave than a serial. State gang and narcotics agencies will get out their very own big wheels. And since the case is interstate, the posties will be sprinkling donuts all over the place, too. And when the 6 o'clock news crews dip their paint into it, there might not be enough popcorn to save the bleachers. Brown strippers, black strippers, yellow strippers, red strippers, all points in between again. There seems no real political meaning behind it, McKinney said. If it were narcotics related, we could establish moxie. I'm starting to wish it was, but I don't think it is. You got legacy MC circuit girls, Latina street level dope dealers, freelance dancers. It's a hodgepodge, and this is happening irrespective of whom gets their dope from who. So I telephoned the sax player, for lack of a better plan. Tina, hey, Tina, it's Rick Thompson here, coffee? I asked her. Lunch, she countered. It was about that time anyway. She met me at the diner next to our office, and we dined. She was about a hand shorter than me, with thick neck-length, almost black straight hair. she ordered a mid-rare steak and a Coke. So me too. Since I don't have much money, I only spend it when people are looking. Certainly on steaks. This pleased me. Hadn't had a steak in a long time. You solved the murder yet? She asked me. Well, no. Thought I was about to, but there's a twist in the plot, and it turns out to be it, I answered. How so? She queried. About 24 other murdered strippers, all in the same small hours, all up and down the West Coast, I told her. No shit, she said. She looked down at her steak. Well, that's what I call organized crime. And she looked back up from her plate and smiled at me. It wasn't me, she said, giggled. Tina said she recognized all three of our victims from the nightly Anon, but never had any personal run-ins with them. We're listening to every rumor or any random observation at all from anyone on this case because it's not linear. It was like a burst, I continued. And too far apart to have been the same people. The nightlife is starting to suspect no less than science fiction, I said. Well, I'll ask the band if they've seen anything, and if I see you again, I'll let you know what they had to say. She smiled. Great, I answered, changing the subject from the topic of my work. How long have you been playing that horn? About 25 years, but I've been playing it for a living only for about 5. She said, I used to work for the Forest Service, but I got fired after some tax collector found roaches in the ashtray of one of our trucks. And it had to be either me or the whole unit walk the plank for it, so as a squad leader, I took the black ball, she said. I miss the outdoors, but this is better than selling insurance. She grabbed her purse and excused herself to the restroom, and I paid the check while she was in there. And she told me to telephone anytime whenever I got my next break from work. I walked her out to her car. I headed back to the office to see how the lieutenant was getting along with his lunch date. Anders was in character, sitting around wearing sweatpants, flip-flops, and a tank top, smoking menthols. And Louis Ho was sitting around looking nervous. She had thought she was pregnant, but her period came Friday, so she'd been celebrating that night. She'd had a good night for tips and met that other guy at the club that night, too. That stocky, bald guy in the suit, Anders said. We were all rolling over to the hotel for an after-hours drink. Who was the possible father? I asked Anders. She said she didn't know, and maybe the girl herself hadn't known. I mean, she was a working girl, and she worked hard, so it can get kind of complicated with stuff like that. I mean, she even dated a lot of the same people I do. Ho said he was pretty sure he wasn't the father. McKinney pulled me into his office. They were undoubtedly spooked at the sight of the three bodies. They had to explain somehow, just like we're trying to explain it somehow. And I believe they arrived at their story about Alvarez because it was plausible, and they didn't want to get roped into what appeared to be a drug deal gone south. Alvarez's associations are specifically unrelated to Stevie Wang's or Louis Ho's coke sources, so hanging it on him was tantamount to suicide. And there's a little old jealousy there. Alvarez may have questionable means, so he makes a good red herring even by tweaker logic, he said. I think that's the long and the short of why they named him. As far as what the hell they actually saw, one minute it was business as usual, and then someone happens to walk back there, and there are three fresh ones in the floor. And the general storyline everywhere else is similar, and this seems to have gone down right under broad nightlight. And the total number of surviving witnesses, 1. For all 21 homicides and umpteen locations, Anders and Ho say they didn't see shit. And I believe them. What'd you have for lunch? Bloody steak, I answered. Tina said she'd asked the band if they had any observations about our victims or witnesses or characters of interest otherwise. She's seen anything? He asked. She'd seen the Russian suit and the Asian pizza man before, but she never convoed with him. She recognized the girl's face, too, regular working girl slash dancer like Anders, I said, but no smoking gun, eh? Anything from the other agencies? Not as such, much like our own just-dead strippers coated with coke and jazz. All the victims' purses had tampons in them, and all good bear shit in the woods, he said. Ah, the eloquent loquacious lieutenant. I'm calling Rich Hayes at the Seattle Bureau. He used to work for the state police up there for a lot of years. He could put some good English on it when he notifies his command chain, so we can all move along with the investigation in an orderly fashion. He picked up the phone and punched up 10 digits. Howdy, Rich. Danny McKinney, not bad. Not bad. Oh, yeah. Yeah, fat and happy. Yep. Yep. No. No, business here. Looks like we have a thing here. I rang up our lady, the coroner, Dixie. I need you to make some phone calls to several of your colleagues, and I gave her the various agencies and their investigator contacts involved in the case. Turns out about 21 people were killed last night all up and down the coast. A1A, the only two who weren't strippers were our Russian suit and the pizza man. So if you all can come up with any similarities among your cadavers. Anything new otherwise? Nope, just Daddy wants his little girl back to bury her. Called again this afternoon. Other guy still has no takers. I'll catch up with you after I compare notes with the other coroner, she said.